This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, you know it. Keith Irizarry in with you. Cashing Out, VSiN. Tony Mejia will join us, NBA writer, SI.com, in about 15 minutes. I break down everything NBA Finals, what we've seen so far, and what we expect the rest of the way. I'm going to get into baseball in a second. I am a sucker for posts that tell you about Twitter issues. So Kevin Durant, who, you know, very well might be on the move. We don't know, right? We assume that the Phoenix Suns are going to move on from him and trade him. And we've got Giannis stuff to talk about as well. So Kevin Durant, apparently, he was getting busy on social media. Someone wrote to him, "I think it's time to admit Kevin Durant's trajectory after leaving Golden State is very underwhelming." He wrote, "I highly disagree. Want a debate?" Then there was a, like I always say, create your own rules. Here, this is the one I like, though. "What have you done?" And they directed this to Kevin Durant. "What have you done since leaving? Brooklyn was a failure. Phoenix currently is a failure. And you're about to jump ship to the next best available team. LOL." This is amazing that Kevin Durant, and I actually, like, I kind of like it. I know that and I'm going to tell you what he wrote back, by the way. Is, like, when you're in the public eye, and even like what I do, and I'm on these airwaves, like, there are going to be people that will take shots at you, especially from the betting world where we're giving out bets. And sometimes they're wrong, right? We don't go 100% all the time, right? So you'll get some hate on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever it may be, right? And we're kind of taught you just mute things and don't respond. KD's not that guy. So Kevin Durant wrote, "All stars fit," by the way, again, if you just missed that, so this was, you know, "you're about to jump ship and what have you done," right? "All stars 50-40-90, that means, you know, 50% field goal, 40% 3-point, 90% from the free throw line. All NBA, efficient buckets, brother. I also got a career high assist one year, hit 30K points, won a couple Olympic golds and MVPs. What a career, and I'm still going. I love my life." Oh my goodness. That is awesome. I had to bring that up. I'm sorry. That was just fantastic. Too good to pass up. The baseball games today, they were interesting. From a standpoint of betting, there wasn't anything crazy. I guess the Padres were favorites. I don't think people thought they were going to win the way that they did. 11-1, they ran roughshod on the Dodgers. We ended up getting Kike Hernandez pitching. How many innings did he end up going? 2 1/3? Yeah, 2 1/3 innings. 3 hits. Only 1 earned run from Kike. Dylan Cease was dynamic. 7 innings, 11 Ks. The Padres are winning enough to where they are now 10 games over 500. They are 21-11 on their home turf, on their home field. And coming into this year, there were questions about whether the Padres would end up being sellers towards the deadline. I don't think so. I think they're going to hold on to Tatis and Machado and Bogarts and everybody there. And I don't think that Dylan Cease will end up being on the move. As good as the Dodgers are, they are 40-28. They seemingly have these hiccups every once in a while where pitching doesn't work for them. It didn't work on Tuesday, and they end up getting rocked. The Detroit Tigers won 5-3 over the Baltimore Orioles. And once again, it's the Detroit Tigers doing what they do. They get enough pitching from whoever is on the mound today, or on Tuesday, I'm sorry. They went with the opening starter in Herder. Then they went to Lee, and then they utilized their bullpen to perfection. So once they got to the bullpen, you got Gibson Long ended up getting 5 strikeouts. He went the longest for them. Haha, there you go. 4 2/3, 3 hits, gave up 1 run. On the Baltimore side of things, Povich is a strikeout guy. Typically, you can play his over on strikeouts, but the problem is, gives up a lot of runs and doesn't get a lot of innings, and it didn't work for him on Tuesday. 6 Ks, nice number. The over was 6.5, so the under hits there. 5 earned runs, don't like that of you, the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles are on the struggle bus. The Reds were the underdogs going into Cleveland, taking on the Guardians. Jose Ramirez does extend his on-base streak, but the Reds have now won five games in a row. They win a close one, 1-0. I think there is a story to be told here in this Cubs-Phillies game, and we could talk about this a little bit more. On one hand, it's the fact that the Chicago Cubs might just be for real. PCA is awesome. He is going to be an all-star. He is one of the best young players in all of baseball. Pete Crow Armstrong is a sight to behold. You have to pay attention to him. He is awesome. The Philadelphia Phillies, what is wrong with this team? So start with Bryce Harper not being in lineup. But even when he was there, they were struggling. They've lost 12 of their last 14 games. They find themselves now in third place in the NL East. In second place in the NL East, barely ahead of the Nationals. Trey Turner, he's hitting, but past that, Schwarber's not Schwarbombing as much as you want. Bohm is fine. Castellanos is fine. Stott has been taking a step back. Real Muto is in and out of the lineup, and he's batting 234. It's a weird team, man. Can't figure them out. And if they can't figure it out, I don't know what happens going forward. They might be a team that you could start targeting. We'll see. Rays lost to the Boston Red Sox, and the Red Sox, after, you know, taking care of things with the New York Yankees, figuring it out. The youngster, Anthony, gets his first Major League Baseball hit, goes 1-for-4, had 2 RBIs. Love to see that for Anthony. As we just kind of go through these games chronologically, the Nationals had the early lead on the New York Mets. It was 2-0, then it was 3-1, then it was 3-2. It was 4-4, and you get a game-winning hit for the New York Mets in 10 innings. The Mets are for real, man. The Mets are absolutely everything you hope for, and I guess what you can take from the New York Mets is bet on them to win at home. You're not going to make a lot of money off of it on the money line, and the run line doesn't always work for you, but they are arguably the best team in all of baseball at home. 25-7 in front of their fans at Citi Field. They kind of just find ways to get it done. Juan Soto, by the way, hit his 12th home run. I know this sounds weird, but the batting average is up to 248. The Soto shuffle is back. I think he's lathered up. I think that he is about to go on a streak here. Start looking at Soto props. I think they're going to pay dividends. Go to the other New York team, and the Yankees just ran roughshod on the Kansas City Royals. Dominant. 10 runs, 16 hits. Aaron Judge, another home run. The dude just continues to rake. I want to see if any of the props are up yet for Judge for tomorrow. Let me just pull this up really quick while we are doing this. Yankees, because Judge has great numbers against Bubic. None of the props are up. Okay, so anyway, but that'll be interesting. That's a good matchup there. Bubic is a great pitcher. He's been dynamic all year long. Judge's batter-pitcher matchup there is great. The Rangers end up putting together 16 runs on the board, 16-4. They beat the Twins, bunch of home runs in that game. Blue Jays, 10-9 victors over the Cardinals. So obviously the over hits there, and the over was the play coming in. I thought, there you go. The White Sox get a win over the Astros. Astros, again, they're another team that continues to just baffle me. Every time I think the Astros are starting to figure it out, they have a dud like that against the Chicago White Sox. Astros are still in first place in the West. I thought it would be the Mariners. Mariners only 3 wins in their last 10. So that is an absolute issue for the Seattle Mariners. It is not working out as expected for them. So what else do we got? Let's go one more game for you on the diamond. We got the Giants. That's what I wanted to look at. Yeah. So the Rockies had the 5-2 lead, and they were looking good. The over in this one was the total was set at 11.5 in Colorado, I thought the over was going to hit. You end up getting the four runs in the ninth by the Giants to take the 6-5 lead. Rockies were unable to force extras or do anything there. They fall 6-5. Colorado, my goodness, 12 wins on the season, 12-54. The Giants have been real good. Giants have been a betting favorite amongst many people. They are paying dividends if you are locking in with the Giants, only a half game back of the LA Dodgers. The Giants have now won 6 games in a row. Again, a team that is clearly paying dividends. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, and you get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to. You get a daily email with all the best bets from the hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, and also our 2025-26 NFL betting guide that is dropping July 1st. You will not want to miss out on this offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK to sign up. It is vsin.com/subscribe. On the other side, we dive in to the NBA Finals. What have we seen? What will we see? A lot more to do. Keith Irizarry cashing out on VSiN. Keep it locked right here with us.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Some fun here on VSiN, cashing out. Keith Irizarry with you, and now we go to the Progressive guest line. Tony Mejia will be joining us, NBA writer, SI.com on social, Mejia De Niro. Tony, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing great, Keith. How about you, man?
I'm good. All right, so before we even get to the NBA, so let's have some fun here. So you're down in Florida. I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale in like 2 days. I'm being told I need to go to the elbow room. Is this a must for me? Is this really something I need to check out?
I mean, look, I used to live right behind the elbow room on Fort Lauderdale Beach on A1A on Las Olas. Now, mind you, this was 20 years ago, so I spent my 20s there, and that would 25-year-old Tony would highly recommend it. But yes, you can absolutely hang with the locals. It's a great place. I mean, lots of hockey fans too. It's a bar district, beach bars and whatnot. So yes, I would recommend the elbow room. And you're not that far if you're going to go to the hockey game, because it's not Miami. Obviously, you're going to Sunrise, so you're closer to Fort Lauderdale than you are Miami. So yeah, definitely make the elbow room if you can swing it.
All right, good. Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to be down there for a basketball tournament for my older son. He's 14 years old. It's a lot of 14-year-old boys. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get over there, but my goal is to attempt to. So we'll try. All right, let's dive into the NBA. Tell me a reason to back the Pacers, or is there one?
Sure, there is one. The Thunder have played their worst games on the road in their first venue change. So they got down huge against Memphis in game 3 in the first round, and obviously came back in that. Dramatic comeback, aided by John Morant getting hurt. And then you had the other two series, the Denver Nuggets they lost to, and the Minnesota Timberwolves was the no-show from SGA. He scored 14 points, and since then he's obviously set the world on fire and showed everybody what he's an MVP. But obviously you've got Indiana going back home. You figure their role players will play better at home, and maybe the Thunder do have a bad first half.
All right, so you gave us all the reasons why you can back the Pacers. Would you?
I mean, at this point, You don't have to, but at this point, you would like to see that number get up to 6. I know it opened 4.5. So if you hopped in on OKC laying the 4.5, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, considering it's now 5.5 and might trend towards 6. But again, the Pacers have been pretty good at home, pretty good home team all season. 3-2 at home in the playoffs, and OKC, like, you know, they're 0-7 against the number on the road this postseason. So maybe this game is closer than expected.
Tony Mejia, NBA writer, SI.com, joining me, Keith Irizarry, on Cashing Out VSiN. Any players that you are targeting? Earlier, I was going through some of the props. I personally like J-Dub to go over on his points, and I'm looking maybe at Pascal Siakam on his points as well.
I really like that Pascal Siakam pick, so I'll talk about that first. I think he's been drawing Jalen Williams, obviously, on defense. He's a little bigger than Jalen, and I think if everybody is talking about Tyrese Haliburton being more aggressive early on because he wasn't in the first half of game 2, and that clearly put the Pacers in a hole. But you see his number at 17.5. It's almost teasing you to take that over. But Tyrese Haliburton, in a perfect world, wants to get his guys involved, particularly all these role players that will be more confident at home at the Fieldhouse. So I like his assists better, but I do like Pascal Siakam being more aggressive. And if he gets you to the free throw line, that obviously stops the game and gets you more opportunities for him to top 19.5. So, pretty low bar. You get Pascal to 20 and you win. I like the over there too.
Cool. All right. So I gave you that. Do you have any that you're targeting?
I like Halliburton's assists, and the reason I gave you 7.5, if you want it heavily juiced, 8.5 at plus money. Another good winner in this series has been Isaiah Hartenstein, over 7.5 rebounds. He's at 9-8 after only topping that number once against the Timberwolves, and obviously he's dealing with a different animal here. Rudy Gobert and a faster pace. Even though he's come off the bench, I think Isaiah Hartenstein over 7.5 rebounds is pretty solid.
All right, let's broad stroke this. Let's talk about some of the other topics in the NBA. New York Knicks. Who do you think will end up being their head coach?
I don't think it'll be Jason Kidd, but certainly with the news that Ime Udoka has been contacted, and obviously the Rockets said no, and Chris Finch, apparently from the Timberwolves, is also somebody they wanted to talk to and got denied. Clearly, they're doing their due diligence, which they should, on established head coaches, and I think Jason Kidd, if the opportunity to coach Jalen Brunson again and get out of Dallas after the Luka thing, say what you will about how tight he is with Nico Harrison, I don't think he loved being blindsided by that trade and then being put out as a scapegoat somewhat afterwards, since Luka wasn't talking to him. So maybe that's a window for Jason Kidd to go back to a market that he knows, because he did play with the Nets, albeit in New Jersey. But again, I think you talk to Jeff Van Gundy if you're in New York, you talk to everybody, and you don't rush into any decision. Obviously, Jay Wright is out, but that would have been interesting, though.
Man, I wanted Jay Wright to be the coach so bad. All right, so cards on table. I'm a Hofstra graduate. I was there for 2 years of Jay Wright. I've stayed in touch with him over the years. I think he's a fantastic, fantastic man and an awesome coach. I was hoping that he would be willing to come out of, retirement, but I guess the money you're making doing TV and a lot less stress, and he can just wear his nice suits and still look young. How about Giannis? What do you make of these sort of comments that he may not want to be out of Milwaukee? Do you think that he still is going to get traded?
Look, the chatter was that he met with them already in late May, and nothing came out of that. That yes, he issued that trade demand. He is loyal to a fault, and the pitch from them was, you can still win in the Eastern Conference. No Jason Tatum next season. Look who broke through this year. Teams that haven't been to the Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. Yes, no Damian Lillard, but we can try to figure some things out if you want to stay. He just had another baby, a little girl. I think early May. So does he really want to uproot his family? He also made the comment that he loves Florida. So that makes the Orlando Magic and Miami Heat really excited. But unless you're the Heat and want to trade Bam Adebayo away, Bam and Giannis doesn't really work. And if you're Giannis and you trade Bam away, do you think you can win a title with Tyler Hero? So that opens up the Orlando Magic, and they're run by the brain trust that drafted Giannis. So there's some loyalty there. There's something to be had if he wants to pick Orlando, play with Paolo Banchero. But then obviously if you're the Bucks, you're going to ask for Franz Wagner and maybe even Jalen Suggs.
Tony, fun stuff. Thanks for staying up late with me, and hopefully we'll chat again very soon.
I appreciate it, Keith. Thanks so much for having me.
There he is, Tony Mejia, SI.com, Mejia Dinero on social. And this summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package, just $400 all in. You get a two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops, all for just $400, resort fees and taxes included. It is a limited time offer through September 4th. Do not miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. How much fun would that be? A lot more fun coming up right here on Cashin' Out on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashin' Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, it is Cashing Out on VSiN. I am Keith Irizarry. Thank you for spending your night and your morning with me. Joining us now on the Progressive guest line is Zach Rieger, college baseball analyst, sports betting dime, Zach Rieger 18 on social media. Zach, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's an exciting time in college baseball. Very happy to be here. How are you doing here?
I'm good. If I tell you, if I just read this line and say only three of the original eight top seeds remain in Arkansas, LSU, Oregon State, is that a good thing for the College World Series? Is that a bad thing? Or do you have a different take on it?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic thing. I mean, you look at, there's a lot of things you can really factor in when you see the eight teams that made it. One, who doesn't love a good underdog story? You have Murray State, the fourth ever four seed to make it. And then you look at even last year, it was four SEC teams, four ACC teams. Kind of fun if you want to look at it, all the big dogs going at each other. But I like the disparity. I like a couple SEC teams, one ACC team, got some Sun Belt. You've got three of the original Pac-12 teams, which is kind of funny in its own right. So I like the disparity. And it is kind of interesting when you look at this era of NIL. We kind of thought the mid-majors, don't know if they're going to make it to Omaha. How many will we get any? And now we have a good amount in Omaha. We have a lot of disparity. I think it's great for the game of college baseball.
From a betting standpoint, what are some of the, I don't know, theories or tactics that you utilize? And then you tell people as you go into the College World Series and you go to Omaha.
So it's really interesting this year because it's very top heavy when you look at the betting favorites. You've got Arkansas and LSU right there at the top, as they should be. So there's a couple things with this year I'm looking at, and I'm kind of curious. I'm sure we'll talk about it here in a little bit, that huge LSU-Arkansas matchup. I'm curious about where the odds go for the loser of that game, how far they will drop, if there will be some value there. But then I also look at Omaha in kind of its own little entity, if you want to call it, because it's such a pitcher's ballpark. You have to factor in the wind. When it's blowing in, it's tough to hit home runs. So you really want to look at pitching depth. You want to look at the flexibility these pitching staffs can have, because this is 2 weeks of game after game. You're going to have to throw in guys when you don't want to yet. You want to save them for a semifinal matchup. You might not have the opportunity if you're facing elimination and you just have so many games on top of each other. So pitching is a huge factor here in Omaha in this ballpark.
Love it. Zachary Gaudron and me, Keith Irizarry, cashing out on VSiN. Let's run through some of the games. Coastal Carolina, Arizona, 2 p.m. Eastern. It gets started on Friday, June 13th. You and I have not spoken yet about this. I loved Coastal Carolina going into this. Thought they were a team that could be a dark horse. And they have been playing great baseball. How would you play this game?
I'm really looking at Coastal Carolina here. I actually just picked them to be my champion at plus 650.
Let's go.
Heading into Omaha. I like them. I bet them plus 124 to beat Auburn. Did I think it was going to be two games? I'll be honest, I don't know. I thought it might have gone three, but I love this Coastal team. How can you not? They've won 23 straight games in baseball. This is absurd. And they were in the Sun Belt, not an easy conference to have a winning streak like this. They run through their regional and they go into Auburn, a team that swept LSU earlier this season and beat them in two games. And that incredible lineup they have with Ike Irish, they just have such great pitching depth. And I love their path to at least get to the championship, maybe get a hedge opportunity if one presents itself, because they are on the other side of the bracket than LSU, Arkansas. And then this game, Arizona, they are a little scary. They're hot. They've won 10 of their last 11. They won the Big 12. They just faced a great pitching staff in North Carolina in their own right. But I just think Coastal is too much here. They don't make mistakes. I talked earlier about hitting the home run, scoring runs in Omaha. Coastal Carolina scores a lot of runs, but they manufacture them. They don't rely on the long ball. They steal bases. They led the Sun Belt in steals. And then defensively following up their pitching, they don't make mistakes. They were number one in fielding percentage in the Sun Belt.
Zachary Gurian joining me. Keith Irizarry cashing out. Let's go to the Oregon State-Louisville matchup, 7 p.m. Eastern time. To me, on paper, it kind of looks like two opposing teams. They do things a little bit differently. So how would you handicap this game?
This one, I'm looking at Oregon State here. Louisville, they've been good. They have the pitching. They like to manufacture runs just like Coastal Carolina does. But there's just something about it. I didn't necessarily love what I saw in that Miami Super Regional from them. And Oregon State, they're just a team, a lineup that I want to back right now. I'm looking at them minus 160 right now, waiting for the run line to come out, see what those odds are. That's what I'm looking at with Iva Arquette. I think they have the pitching advantage, whether they throw out Dax Whitley, whether they throw out Ethan Kleinschmidt. I think the Beavers right now, they were kind of a fun story getting here, being an independent this season. They had to kind of put together a weird schedule, made some weird trips out to the Midwest during their regular season. And now they made it. There was a lot of talk maybe they shouldn't even, you know, be the number eight seed. But then they showed why. They got popped in the mouth, losing to St. Mary's. And I think that might have been the best thing to happen to them. They outscored their opponents 50-6 and the rest of the regionals. And then won, obviously, in game three against Florida State to get to Omaha. I like what I'm seeing from the Beavers. I think they're the hotter team. I think they're the better team, more complete team. So I like them to win. And I will be potentially looking at the run line here, the minus 1.5 as well. Nice.
You mentioned Dax and Ethan combined to strike out 21 batters over 10 and 2/3 innings. Let's go to Saturday now. Game number 3, number 15, UCLA taking on Murray State, 2 o'clock Eastern. And UCLA has been dominant, outscoring their opponents 50-16. A word that I would use to describe them is patient. And then Murray State, you mentioned, they're kind of the darlings, the Cinderella. So what's the play in this game?
This one's interesting. I'm going back and forth. I think UCLA wins, but I might be looking at Murray State on the run line here. I'm thinking we'll probably get like a plus 2.5 based off what the opening money line odds were. Four seeds have actually done pretty well in Omaha. They're the fourth team to make it. Fresno State, of course, went on to win it all in a crazy Cinderella story. Stony Brook in 2012, they lost both their games. But then Stony Brook just a few years ago, they won their first game against TCU when no one thought they had a chance. So Murray State in this first game, I don't hate them. They just keep finding ways to win. I don't think they think they're an underdog. This is still a good team. UCLA, of course, has just been quietly just dominating their teams, as you said. But I think Murray State can keep it close here in the first game. Their pitching depth is, of course, worrisome, but I think that can be more down the line. I think they'll throw everything they can at this first game, and I think they'll keep it close here.
Murray State top 50 rankings nationally in batting average, slugging percentage, runs scored per game. So they are clearly an impressive team. Arkansas, LSU, probably the headline matchup that is game number four. I go back and forth on this one. I'm leaning Arkansas. Which way would you lean?
I'm leaning LSU, but this is one that is going to be a game time decision. It's going to be a game time decision. Like, it's close. I wish I could argue with you for Arkansas. Like, this is one of those matchups that is so close, and it's so crazy that they are playing in the very first game. Like, this is Arkansas's reward for just winning very impressively, I should say, against Tennessee, but a very highly emotional game. And now their reward is to play LSU, who's coming to their 20th College World Series. This is a game I'm not even looking at ticket prices in Omaha. I'm just going to be outside the stadium watching on the big screen. This is going to be a very exciting game, very exciting atmosphere. The pitching in this one, it's probably going to be Zach Root and I'm blanking Cade Anderson for LSU. LSU won the regular season series 2-1. I don't know how much that weighs into it. I think just LSU, they're both so, like, such complete teams. I am looking at the under here, which is a little scary with Arkansas's lineup. I mean, they can just hit home runs nonstop, but LSU, they don't hit quite as many home runs, which I think helps them a little bit in this ballpark. But I think this is going to be a real pitcher's duel. They're going to try to get as many innings out of their number one guy so they can just go to their next guy and really rest their pitchers to try to win. And like I said earlier in the show, the loser of this game, they're definitely not out of it. So keep an eye on the odds. You might get some value there.
Fun stuff. Zach Rieger, college baseball analyst, Sports Betting Dime. I know you're heading out to Omaha. Enjoy, man. We'll talk again very soon. Cashing Out continues to roll on.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Mini camps in the NFL underway, right? So here's what we know. TJ Watt did not show up for Pittsburgh, although you got a new QB and Aaron Rodgers. He was there. Micah Parsons showed up for the Dallas Cowboys. They will clearly be a story all season long, as they always are. Time now for VSIN's Daily Morning Bets. And of course, this is brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature card. It's pretty easy. In the first 90 days, here's what you get. You get to deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You then receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. Then it's $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. You head to VSIN.com/GBank. It is VSIN.com/GBank. A one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply for this. We know we have hockey less than, what, it's about 38 hours away. We have the NBA less than 24 hours away. I'm going to give you a few NBA bets as well. And while some of these player props aren't actually out yet, my best bets I love player props. I love baseball player props. So I'll give you some research. I'll give you some background. I'll tell you why these will work. And then it's going to be contingent on, you know, you searching out the books and making sure you get the right price and the right number for you. We're going to start things off with Mike Trout. Now, depending on the price, I'm looking at the over 1.5 total bases and the over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI. Again, if the hits, runs, RBIs is over 1.5 at, let's say, minus 140, I'm all in. The 1.5 bases, I need plus money on this one, need at least plus 110 to get there. Here's why I like this. There's a few reasons here. One, Jeffrey Springs. He has not been great as of late. 4 runs or more allowed in 4 consecutive starts. He's also given up at least 1 home run in 5 straight starts. So by the way, if you wanted to put a sprinkle in a home run for Mike Trout, I wouldn't be mad at you. Trout has seen Springs before and he's got good numbers against him. 5 for 11, that's a .455 batting average, has a double. Also going into the evening, he was 5 of 8 games in June, had topped the hits, runs, RBI props. So Mike Trout coming back from injury has looked pretty good. Is he 100% Mike Trout? No, but he's going up against Springs. I'm all in on it. Jose Ramirez. Wash, rinse, repeat, Ramirez. He gets on base every single game. Now, the problem with Jose Ramirez is, what do you play? The total bases don't always work, but actually I'm going to tell you why it will work. The hits, runs, RBIs, it is the play. But the issue is, I don't know if the books are going to give you the over 1.5 or the over 2.5 on Ramirez. If it's over 1.5 at minus 150 or better odds, go. Take it. I love it. If it's 2.5, you may not want to do it. Now, he's got good numbers in his career against Nick Lodolo, 4 for 5. He's got a home run there. During this on-game, on-base streak, he's batting .394, has 18 extra base hits. Those extra 8 extra base hits, 10 of them are doubles. He's got a triple, Jose Ramirez, has 7 home runs and 17 RBIs. I say all that to say this. Total bases, if it's over 1.5 and it's even minus 105, I probably would play. The over 2.5, no thank you. If you're going to go over 2.5, you're taking the home run. That's what you're doing. He's got 7 home runs during this on-base streak. That's what you're going to play. So both of those are good, probably good plays. If you get the 1.5 for both of those, do them. If you wanted a home run, I could go there. I'm not 100% on the home run, but it wouldn't be a terrible look. All right, now let's switch gears, go to the NBA. We've talked a lot over the last couple hours about the NBA game number 3. I'm leaning Thunder on this game, but I think it's going to be a close game. So that's why if you could still get the 5.5, I would take the Pacers plus 5.5. I like that play. I like the over on the total in this game. Now let's talk about some player props. If the Pacers are going to keep this close, I told you I like Pascal Siakam over on his points. I'm leaning over on Halliburton on his points. A slight lean. Around minus 105, minus 106 is where I'm seeing it at most books. His point total is set at 17.5. The reason I lean over, he had 17 points in a bad game too. But if you look at what Halliburton has done at home during this postseason, his splits, road and home, are stark. On the road, averaging like 17-ish points. At home, averaging over 24 points per game. So all you need is him to go somewhere in the middle. We need the over 17.5. Give me 18, and we're good. Give you another Pacer to look at. Aaron Nesmith. I told you I like Nembhard, but I'm afraid of his props. How about Nesmith over 17.5? Points and rebounds, minus 110 was the number I saw it at, the best number I could find. He had 16 points and rebounds as an average during the regular season. That's cool. That would miss. But during this postseason run, averaging 19.6 points and rebounds, that would hit for you. And he even covered this in game number 2. I know it was a blowout, and I know there was opportunities towards the end of the game for him to add to his total, but he hit it. So I think that would be, again, these two Pacer ones are really contingent on the storyline. In betting, just like in fantasy sports, like when you're building a fantasy lineup, right? Like you're building your daily lineup, you want to try to tell a story. If you believe the Pacers are going to keep this game close, and I think most people do believe that, I do too. I think Thunder win, but I think it ends up being like a 3, 4, 5 point game, something close there, then you're going to have to find something. Even Miles Turner might be it might not be a horrible guy to kind of target, but Nesmith, we're going to go points and rebounds over. Halliburton, we go over on his points. You could look at his assists as well. I think he's going to get his points. Last one for you on the Oklahoma City side. I'm fearful of going under on a point total for SGA. 34.5 is a robust number. Not going over. I'm not going under. I'm just going to stay away. Here's where you need to find your number. And again, this might change as the day goes on. I like his over on assists. But the problem is, I like the over 6.5. So I found on one book, over 6.5, minus 154. It's a little juicy for me. I guess it depends on what kind of week you've had, if that's worth it for you. So 7.5 is where we get dicey. SGA had 8 assists in game 2 with 15 potential assists. I think he can get to 8, but I'm worried. The plus money is what's enticing people. So over at DraftKings, you can get plus 114. At BetMGM, you get plus 110. You can go through some other books. Again, I like the 6.5. I think he's going to get 7. Will he get 8? I'm a little bit leery of it. So I think you monitor the prices on this. If you can get 6.5 at like minus 145, go for it. I think SGA is going to get that. The point total, I'm a little bit worried about it. 34.5 is a lot. It feels a lot like the Jalen Brunson props in the last series where you're getting 32.5 and you were sweating it out the end when he's got 29 or 30 points. You're like, foul him. Get him to the free throw line, please. Get him to the free throw line. I need some free throws. That's where you were sitting sometimes in that one. A reminder, start your morning with VSiN by the Book, featuring Dave Ross and my guy Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m. Eastern, looking for sharp golf betting insight. Wes Reynolds will be on to break down this week's field, including outrights, placement bets, and a few long shots that could cash big. You know you want to pay attention to that. It's going to be followed by a numbers game with Gil Alexander at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And of course, you'll stick around for Money Moves at noon. Man, we got through a lot. So here's what we learned. Giannis might not be on the move. Or will he? Kevin Durant's going somewhere. We don't know where. Aaron Rodgers is married. Who knew? I wish you would have asked me. I would have officiated the wedding. Would have been a lot of fun. And he's the Steelers QB. Micah Parsons goes to training camp. TJ Watt is not at training camp. We'll see how that all plays out. We got NBA Finals game number 3. Pacers +5.5 appears to be the play. Stanley Cup Final is on the horizon as well, just a day away. Adam Bernard and everyone behind the scenes, a fantastic job. I am Keith Irizarry once again for cashing out on VSiN. Thanks for joining us for the last couple hours. We will catch you again very soon.